This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Last Friday, Farm Bureau, with other members of the Agriculture Workforce Coalition, was invited to a late afternoon meeting at the White House to discuss possible executive action on immigration. The meeting, a listening session with White House staff, was an opportunity to voice any concerns and raise potential outcomes of executive action. Farm Bureau reiterated the need for a long-term legislative solution, but also encouraged the administration to ensure they do not make it harder for farmers to access their workforce or use the H-2A program. The abuse of I-9 audits and targeted immigration and customs enforcements that are hurting growers across the country was also discussed. No information was provided on what potential executive action might look like or a timeline. Major national news outlets, including the New York Times and USA Today, are reporting on the situation in Toledo, Ohio, where toxins in the city's water supply prompted local government officials to tell 400,000 residents to stop using tap water for drinking, brushing their teeth, or washing dishes over the weekend. The city's water supply, which is drawn from Lake Erie, showed levels of the toxin microcystin above the standard for consumption, possibly because of algae on Lake Erie. Test results from an Environmental Protection Agency laboratory in Cincinnati released Monday morning showed that water is safe, prompting Toledo officials to lift the ban. About 11,000 households in southeastern Michigan also were under a water advisory. The majority of the corn crop is entering into the final stretch of its growth cycle, with 90% of the crop silking while soybeans have reached 85% blooming, according to the Agriculture Department's weekly crop progress report. In terms of crop conditions for corn, the agency has increased the amount viewed as very poor by 1 percentage point to 2% overall, while those crops rated as fair increased by the same amount to 20%. The other adjustment USDA made was to those crops considered good, which declined by 2 points to 51%. The weekly update did not adjust the crop conditions for soybeans, leaving 71% of the crop rated as either good or excellent. As far as the crop setting pods, according to USDA, 57% is in that stage, an increase of 19 points, which is significantly higher than the 36% seen in 2013 and also above the five-year average of 48%. A group of 15 attorneys general sent a letter to the Environmental Protection Agency expressing displeasure with the agency's proposed Waters of the U.S. rule because it could narrow exemptions the Clean Water Act provides for normal farming activities. By limiting the exemption to only those conservation practices specifically identified, the agencies have impermissibly narrowed the scope of normal farming activities that have historically been considered exempt, the attorneys wrote in the letter, which was signed by officials from Iowa, Nebraska, Alabama, Georgia, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan, Montana, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, West Virginia, and Wyoming. On a research plot near the airport in Rochester, Minnesota, Jared Gomplin has watched weeds for the past three summers. His specialty is giant ragweed, one of the more than a dozen species of superweeds that resist the most widely used herbicides. Superweeds can take over cropland, reduce yields, and wipe out farmers' profits. Even consumers can face a secondary effect in the form of higher food prices. It's a serious problem and one that will continue to grow, said Paul Meintz, research program manager for Minnesota Soybean. Weeds that won't succumb to mainstream herbicides are a rising concern nationally, especially in cotton, corn, and soybean country, and the largest agribusinesses are racing to propose solutions. Gomplin, a University of Minnesota graduate student, is testing whether crop rotation and other non-herbicide methods can make a difference in keeping weeds under control. He records the number of giant ragweeds as they come up, collects and counts seeds that fall from mature plants, and even sifts seeds in the soil to map hot spots in the seed bank where seeds are waiting to sprout next year. Two ethanol plants in Kansas have started turning a different part of corn into a fuel they say can replace conventional diesel. Jeff Oisman, president and CEO of East Kansas Agri-Energy in Garnett, said they use starch from corn to make ethanol for mixing into gasoline and previously would sell the oil, fiber shell, and gluten protein in the corn for use as feed. Now the oil will be processed to make diesel. Most diesel is made from petroleum, though synthetic fuels and biodiesel made from vegetable oils have a small share of the market. The renewable diesel they will make will be different from biodiesel because conventional trucks, trains, and planes could run on it exclusively, and it doesn't have the same difficulty in cold temperatures that biodiesel has. According to Oisman, it is identical to the fuel you buy on the street. Come October, Phil Kruver plans to be seeding the first ever offshore mussel farm in the U.S. 8 months later, the CEO of Catalina Sea Ranch hopes to be harvesting the first batch of mussels, which investors have already agreed to buy and sell on the market. Nothing quite like this has been done in the United States, which has a $10 billion seafood trade deficit and imports 90% of its seafood. Still, investors of the 100-acre underwater ranch see offshore aquaculture as the direction the seafood industry is moving. Russia's President Vladimir Putin has implemented a one-year ban on the import of certain agricultural products, foods, and raw materials from countries that have sanctioned his country. U.S. agriculture is likely to be affected, although Russian officials are still working on developing products that will be banned. AFBF President Bob Stallman said in a statement, "This is clearly a political move. It is unfortunate that the biggest losers in this will be Russian consumers, who will pay more for their food now as well as in the long run." Gluten-free labels on packaged foods now have a real meaning. Until Tuesday, the term gluten-free was unregulated and manufacturers made decisions about what it means. The new requirement is especially important for people who suffer from celiac disease and don't absorb nutrients well. They can get sick from the gluten found in wheat and other cereal grains. Under a rule announced a year ago, food manufacturers had until this week to ensure that anything labeled gluten-free contains less than 20 parts per million of gluten, ensuring that those products are technically free of wheat, rye, and barley. That amount is generally recognized by the medical community to be low enough so that most people who have celiac disease won't get sick if they eat it. Radix Ecological Sustainability Center in Albany, New York is embracing grassroots bioremediation by using mushrooms to detoxify soil in community gardens. Bioremediation capitalizes on the Earth's natural properties to regulate and heal city soil without breaking the bank. Scott Kellogg, educational director at RESC, explained how they are growing oyster mushrooms in straw and after harvesting the mushrooms, spreading the straw that is now rich with mushroom enzymes across contaminated soil. These enzymes then break down pollutants, in result detoxifying the soil. According to Kellogg, the extent of household and commercial causes of soil pollution from the last 150 years is starting to become more apparent, especially with the increase in community gardens and urban farming. The conventional method of disposing of materials in landfills is not practical or affordable for city residents, so we're looking at ways that ordinary citizens who don't have particularly extensive backgrounds in science or engineering can get involved, according to Kellogg. Bowlers looking to sharpen their skills and have some fun are encouraged to participate in the 4th Annual Macoupin County Agriculture Education Foundation Bowling Tournament, to be held on Saturday, August 23, 2014, at Bolero Lanes in Carlinville. This fundraising event is hosted by the MCAE Foundation to support county agriculture scholarships and the Macoupin County Agricultural Literacy Program. The evening begins at 5 p.m. with registration and a social hour. Bowling starts at 6, and the evening will also see a silent auction, someone going home with a weekend getaway to Herman, Missouri, and other prizes. The foundation is now taking registrations to participate in this year's event. The 9-pin no-tap tournament has room for up to 28 teams. Entry fee for a 4-person team is $100. The fee includes 3 games and non-alcoholic fountain drinks. The winning team will leave with a $150 cash prize. To register for the tournament, contact the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office at 217-854-2571 or Ron Shepherd at 217-556-6847. Those that don't wish to bowl are encouraged to come out and have a good time. All proceeds from the tournament go to the MCAE Foundation. The top funding priorities of the foundation are the funding of scholarships for deserving students who are or plan to study agriculture or related areas and the Macoupin County Agricultural Literacy Program. The Macoupin County Agriculture Education Foundation believes the future of agriculture is dependent upon well-educated leaders who will feed the world in the 21st century and beyond. That's why the foundation was started, to encourage, promote, and fund agriculture's future. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.